Welcome to Dakota Midday Tech Radio for Friday, December 13th. Our 800 number is 1-800-524-3604. You can also drop us an email, send that to midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y at sdpb.org. Today's panelists, Matt Guru, Joel Brovelite. Good to see you, Joel.
Hola.
And Nine Clouds Bro founder, John T. Meyer, is here with us as well.
Howdy, howdy.
And SDN's sales engineer, Amos Asap.
Hello.
Again today. Hello. Nice to see you off the road, finally.
Yes.
For a change.
Yes.
And from Pier, Jeff Litterick, a technology integration specialist, joins us again. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello.
A reminder to listeners, if you'd like a list of the links that we talk about on today's show, we post those to Facebook, facebook.com/techradio. But this is your chance to call for help on SDPB Radio, 1-800-524-3604, the number. And again, the email address, midday@sdpb.org. Well, guys, we have a lot to talk about. We haven't been together for 2 days short of a month.
And, is that what it is? It's been a while.
And Christmas is right around the corner. So I imagine you may be like me and haven't exactly got all your Christmas gifts bought yet. But
thank you, Amazon Prime. Two-day shipping.
You know,
for free.
For now.
For now. We'll get
you
to
know, I got to give Amazon, first off, I got to give them a little bit of props for a piece of mail I got the other day from them. They said, hey, Prime member, we've noticed that you haven't watched any videos.
I actually got that same one as well.
Yeah. They said, you know, it wasn't talking smack about Netflix, but it was saying, you know, if you're a Netflix subscriber, maybe you should, like, try some of our videos and you can get rid
what
of
you're referring
sort of thing.
To is, yeah, Amazon Instant, I think they call it.
Yeah.
Which basically is it's a lesser library of Netflix or Hulu Plus, but
there's a lot of stuff on there, and it's more of a confusing interface for me.
Yeah.
It was for my family when we ended up loading the app up on the PlayStation. And, you know, you get all these prices. They're going, well, we don't want to pay for it. We want the free stuff. But if you look close enough, you see the Instant thing there.
And I thought the same thing. I got that email. I was like, when have you thought of a company who emails you to say, hey, you're not really using the full product? You know, like, they don't care. Once you've paid for it, you've paid for it. But they actually email you and say, hey, there's more.
I got a physical piece of mail.
Yeah, me too.
They mail me a letter.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
who does that?
Exactly. I don't know, for a subscribe service.
Could have sent me a drone.
But I'll tell you what, I installed the app. I tried it. I watched Skyfall the other night and enjoyed the movie. And it was a good service. I didn't have any real issues with the service itself, but getting off track here. But
this is probably a topic for a future show, or we can do it today too. But, you know, I was making fun of myself the other day. I have Netflix. I do have Amazon Prime for the shipping. I don't really think about it for the video. And I have Hulu Plus. And I still pay for TV and I was for cable. And I was like, what am I doing?
What are you doing?
Well, you're married now, so so that
it's like
that,
only the live sports is the only reason I still have. So, and I just keep thinking of, like, I know Mid-Continent isn't, that's just a local example, but across the country, they have to see the writing on the wall, right? So why aren't they preparing to move to an a la carte system or something where I can just pick the channels I want?
Well, we don't know that, but they are doing that. I mean, when we see they, we're saying, you know, cable.
Next time on the world, cable. An Arizona businessman helped to build.
Thank you, Marco.
Yeah,
that was Mid-Continent getting mad at me.
That was.
I think that's the kill switch.
You know, and I was, what I was going to say is, you know, in Canada, they just passed are trying to pass what we would call a bill that would require cable providers and satellite providers to offer basically an a la carte menu. It seems very likely it's going to go through.
You know,
if that goes through.
It'll be interesting to see, though, because you have to think that the more popular channels, the Comedy Centrals,
ESPN is the only one that matters.
Yeah, well, just those, you know, are going to be relatively cheap. But what about the stuff that isn't watched quite as much? The Lifetime or Wii or the Golf Channel.
Sure.
The cost on that is going to be so astronomical that it's going to take those channels out completely.
Or, like, I think of, like, those more regional things like
base.
Fox Sports North, so I can watch the Twins.
Yeah.
You know, because that's only a tri-state area.
I read a report from the Nielsen folks the other day, and there are surprisingly, you know, we all in this room use all different devices to watch, to time shift our shows and to do different things in the DVR. But there are still millions and millions and millions of people that watch that stuff, watch television.
That's true.
on a TV.
Just turn it on.
Just turn it on.
Yeah.
And that, and it's staggering the number of, you see that you track the number of hours spent watching television versus even being on a computer. Now, I can't dispute any of their numbers because I don't have the sure. numbers to dispute it with, but there is a very large gap even today with
I'm just thinking
TV
like
viewership.
There's a reason Borders and Blockbuster Video are closed, because Borders was like, psh, people won't buy books online, and Blockbuster's like, psh, people won't stream movies online, and look what they are now.
Yeah. You know, people aren't going to just download their music.
Yeah.
They're going to keep buying CDs.
The convenience of TV, though, is why I keep it. The ability to go over and have this incredibly ancient piece of technology in your hand called a remote, that when you hit the power button, miraculously all this stuff pops up, you know, going out and trying to find stuff. And then the limitations, I mean, Netflix and Amazon Prime still aren't there. When I want to go out and I want to find something, honestly, the last thing I saw on Netflix, or the last time I scrolled through Netflix, I had a hard time finding anything I was interested in. And I know that, you know, eventually the newer stuff will get into there, but it's just, it's taken so
and
long.
I think immediacy is huge too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Paige and I, we watch Scandal. And she'll come back from the news on Thursday, and we'll watch it on DVR. Like, I don't even want to wait till the next day, you know,
yeah.
And that's where TV does still win.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's it for now. But, you know, I think two things on that. First, I think there's always going to be an option for people who want, you know, maybe just a basic set of, you know, the four what we would call networks. But the real deal behind that is you're saying, who's gonna buy just the Golf Channel? Well, honestly, I don't expect that channels themselves are really going to be where it's at. I mean, it's going to be more like, I'm not going to watch everything on the Golf Channel. Mm-hmm. You might watch one show, and
sure.
you'll just buy that show. That's
sure.
what you really want. And I got to think those millions of people that do that, I think there's a much smaller percentage that say, well, I have no preferences. I'll just watch whatever you put in front of me. Most people have preferences and say, okay, for your $30 a month, boy, wouldn't it be nice if that's what it was, you can get these shows.
Yeah.
And I think people would prefer that. I know I would prefer that. Heck, I'd spend the same amount if I knew I could get exactly what I wanted when I wanted it.
Speaking of spending what we want and getting what we want, let's get back to the topic, which is gifting for the holidays.
Sorry, that was a little rant of mine.
Yeah, well, it's all right. We hit that topic every now and then, and we'll just, you know.
Well, I guess the segue for me is like Roku. Like,
Roku
I don't know,
box,
but I don't know
three,
a lot about Roku. Like, is that the piece I'm missing? And if I get Roku, can I get rid of cable?
You know, which is interesting, because that's actually the last Christmas present that I've purchased for somebody. I hope that they're not listening, but that is actually how, and I know she's not, I know how my mother is going to transition from.
I was like, you only buy one present for one person?
I know how my mother is going to transition from the current, you know, sit down, have to see what's on TV to the world of streaming media, and it's going to be through a Roku, that she still has that tangible remote that she can, you know, flip through channels, as I do air quotes, but she'll be able to pull that information up, and it'll be a lot easier for her to do
that. And
is
that pretty easy for her, you think, to use, like if she's used to a TV?
I think it's going to be. We'll
have
see.
You used Roku?
I haven't given it to
I
her.
Haven't.
Have
I'd
I
like
have
to hear someone who
it's,
asked.
I think the interface is good. I don't know that it's great. I feel like the Roku is just a front for the internet. It's like a way to web TVize the internet.
Yes,
which is great. I think for a lot of people,
I think it has its place.
Oh, I think it's. I think especially at its price point,
it's reasonable,
it's
very
a fabulous
reasonably
price
priced.
Point. You know, in between $50, $100.
I think
there's
two versions,
models.
Right? There's one that's like $40, $39, and one.
Yeah, and they essentially all do the same thing. I'm not quite sure why there's multiple versions, but.
I think one is capable of doing 1080p, whereas the original
right.
one was 720.
Yeah, sure. Although I think the target for the low end, they're not even going to be like, I don't understand.
Right.
You know,
well, it's a number,
right? Exactly. But it's certainly the type of device that we're going to be looking for when we talk about buying shows. You know, like the Louis C.K. comedy special, things like that, rather than buying channels, mm-hmm. because it's a perfect front for that.
What I like about it is, speaking from the person that works at a public broadcasting station, is PBS is on there.
For sure.
They got the channel. And all our local stuff is there, too. So if you want to watch that No Cover, No Minimum, or you want to watch that whatever special that we produced, you know, it's on there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, honestly, if you're the type of person that doesn't really care what you watch and are not big on current events, or Roku is your best buddy. There's literally an endless supply of things to watch. you could not spend an entire month 24/7 and actually watch everything that is available, whether it's movies, shows, web series, news, live events. It's ridiculous. There's a lot of stuff. I think the interface could use some work, but it's getting there.
Good price point, too.
Good hold power, too, for that company.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned remote control earlier. I wanted to get back to this. Have you tried the DirecTV one that you talked to? It says, show me a horror movie or whatever.
No, I haven't.
I thought that was not one of the most better choices of technology that I saw. And then I talked to some people that have used it, and they're I love this thing.
Say that sentence again. Not one of the...
This sounds like the most stupid thing I've ever seen in my life. I didn't want to say that.
Okay.
But it sounded like, I'm like, why would anybody want to talk to their remote control and have it change the channel for them?
Yeah, that's
there's
weird.
Some things, there's just some pieces of technology that can exist that just shouldn't.
Oh, I don't know about that. I totally disagree with you.
I could just see my mom with her accent saying, show me a horror movie and not getting the right thing.
Well, here's the trick and the problem. When voice recognition and voice activation doesn't work, it's terrible.
Awful.
But when it always works, you know, it's fabulous. And I'm, you know, I'll say Siri here. I use Siri all the time. And I would say just about, in fact, I only text using Siri when I can.
See, I would say the flip side. Like, I think most of us, our experience probably is with Siri when it comes to voice, like, you know, voice commands. And my Siri, I bet, works 25% of the time.
Yeah.
20%.
I guess what I was going to say is if it always worked that well for me, then it's a foregone conclusion.
But
I open apps that way, but it's got to work.
Your assessment is right. When it does work, it's just like, oh, this is amazing.
And it's not like it's not going to get better. So in a couple of years, things that are voice command, it's just going to be so much easier than text.
I write so many texts and so many emails with my Droid Razor, and it's spot on 99% of the time. It's amazing.
So I may have been wrong in saying that my mother wasn't listening.
No!
Because apparently my father's listening, so I might be off a little bit on that one.
Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Enjoy those horror movies.
Yes. I'll get her the DirecTV remote.
There you go.
Now, is that something you have to...
You can't keep saying it if you want it to be a surprise. She's listening.
Is that something you have to get, do you get that from DirecTV, or is that like a universal remote?
I think that's on DirecTV. I've seen it on the commercials.
Well, there's another thing. It's 2014. Can we get down to one remote? I mean, you go to people's houses.
I thought this was the year that somebody's going to come out with...
We've got caddies for them.
I know.
With a
line up
device,
like soldiers.
It's just so... It's one of those technologies that... could have been fixed 5 years ago and hasn't.
It's such
yet.
An awkward experience when you're in someone else's house and you're like, oh, let's turn the TV. Oh, and then you kind of pause and you look at them and you're like, you're frozen. You have no idea what to do. Which one do you grab?
I thought that was what Harmony. Oh. I mean, and again, you have to purchase it, but I mean, the Harmony remote that controls everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they're okay. So, and you know what the fix for that technology? It is voice command. That is the fix. Because the best universal remote is no remote.
Or move it to the phone. There's a device I'd have to look up if it still exists. I saw it at a trade show a couple years ago
called
Pear, like P-E-A-R.
Yeah.
And it just uses your iPhone. So
that actually...
So then I see the shows on my screen
and I swipe.
They haven't
updated that. It's about a year and a half old and they haven't really updated it.
But I mean, that makes
voice
sense.
Command,
if our wallet's going to go to our phone, why doesn't our remote go to our phone?
I still think voice command's the best. You know, as soon as... If your DirecTV has voice command, your Apple TV, your Roku, as soon as all that is... then everybody knows how to talk. There's the solution. I want you to record every James Bond movie for the next month. Got it.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the solution. Hmm. And that, I think, is where we're going. That's why Logitech basically stopped making the universal remotes. They are down to one that they produce, and that will probably be gone this next year because people are moving towards voice command. But I really think most of the thing is just like, John said, there's a lot of universal apps for Android and iOS. That's what people are using more and more.
I would just feel awkward walking up, and they have it, the Samsung TVs now that you walk up and you tell it what you want to watch. But it would just be weird talking to your TV. I would feel... I'd rather push a button than talk to the TV, I guess.
To confess that I wanted to watch Duck Dynasty, I think I'd rather ruin Anonymous.
Right.
Well, and think of how fast we just surf. Just, you know, change, click, 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 click.
Right.
If you have to say that.
Right. Next. So that it catches it.
Almost.
It may be one of those things, though, that...
there he is.
While we, at the older generation... don't get used to our kids, because if you look at the Xbox One and PS4, it's all voice commands. Microsoft is really pushing it, where you just talk and you control everything as much as possible with just voice, including the TV. So I think the younger generation may get a little bit easier or less embarrassed talking to a device or a TV.
Right. I mean, when you talk about people just watch whatever's on, I mean, that's a generational thing for sure.
Oh, it absolutely is. You know, my 6-year-old doesn't. I'll just see what's on TV. She doesn't even know that's a possibility.
She's just like, going to go what
well,
she wants.
I want to watch Curious George. And I'm like, well, it's not on right now. She's like, I don't understand what you're saying. What do you mean it's not on right now? And I'm like, oh, I guess we could turn the Roku on. She's like, yeah, see?
Yeah,
I can watch it anytime
like
I want.
The grocery store. They just go find what they want.
What a concept.
You don't need to go find it because it'll be dropped. Yeah.
We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about gifting, more gifting than just the Roku and other things. We have lots more to talk about on the segments today. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. Email us at midday@sdpb.org or call the 800 number, 1-800-524-3604. We're back right after this. And welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio for this Friday the 13th. Does that bother anybody anymore?
Friday 13th?
Yeah.
I didn't realize until like halfway through the day.
Yeah. I didn't realize until
today.
So you just said it. Yeah.
All right. Oops. Reminder to listeners again, facebook.com/techradio if we'd like to join the conversation.
So bring it on, bad juju.
Yeah. It's
bring it on over to John.
His chair did not break, though, earlier. It was just a startling thing.
Yeah. I've broken many chairs.
Amos,
yes, sir.
I'm going to start with you because I spy a new colorful thing in your in front of you over there.
Oh, yes.
The Chromebook. What's the deal with that?
You know, it is pretty cool, actually. I actually just got this, the new Chromebook. They've been out for a while, and there's multiple manufacturers. But, you know, its claim to fame is that it runs the Chrome OS. Boot time is about 4 seconds. So from power off to being able to log in is about 4 seconds. And it really does everything I need as far as a consumption device. I would say it's a glorified tablet just with a keyboard, but 10 hours of battery, and if you lose wireless, it becomes kind of a brick. So, you know, there's not a lot. You can't really do anything.
There are
with
no apps,
you
no games you can play or apps or things you can download and play.
There's a few, but it's pretty limited. And that's kind of Microsoft's push right now is, you know, hey, if you don't have internet service, you can't do anything with it. And like we talked about today, there's no hardware jack for it to plug in. But if you're just using it for web browsing or any other internet type of applications, which I've got a couple, I guess, email, you can do the Google Chat or Google, what's the one where everybody gets together?
Hangout?
Hangouts, that's the one. Yeah, obviously I use it a lot. And then, of course, streaming medias I use it for too. So for internet consumption, it's pretty nice. And at $199, it's, you know, nearly disposable. By the time if I drop it or the technology wears out, it's probably time to get a new one. Anyway.
No, there's no touch screen though, right?
No touch screen. Now, there is a Google Chromebook that the Pixel from HP, I believe, but that's like $1,200, and I didn't think the touch screen is worth another $1,000. So
wow,
it's nice, it's light, it's thin. Your machine and my machine practically the same size. Obviously, yours has got an internal hard drive and can do much more.
What machine he has.
MacBook Air.
That does not have a hard drive?
It's got a solid-state hard drive, but you can't save anything to it. You can't...
It's thicker. I'm sorry.
Oh, it is a little bit thicker. Yeah. You can't save anything to it.
Definitely.
That isn't part of the OS. You can't download a file. You can't... you could create a file within the applications itself, but the
you're,
theory
you're totally
is...
in the cloud.
Everything's in the cloud, yep. Everything's saved to your Google Drive. The theory is that you can't get a virus on these, but that's the theory. And I think, as we all know, eventually everything can get a virus. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. So
but it makes you more portable. You know, if you you got your stuff wherever you need it, whenever you need it, and you don't have to make that decision, which is, I think, a very smart part about that push towards everything in the cloud. You know, you don't have to say, oh, I'm going to save this to the cloud, save this to my hard drive. You know, eventually I think that's going to be better for everybody, especially in business.
And when you sync it to your profile, your Google profile. Mm-hmm. You know, anything I do on here, I can go get from my phone. I can go get from any desktop, any laptop, any other device I can get on the internet. I can get it, and so it's handy. And for my particular lifestyle, it works really well.
Hmm. Would you recommend that to somebody then?
I actually did as a Christmas present. Someone asked me. They were talking
your mother?
About. Not for my mother.
Who's
no.
getting it this year?
Someone was asked if their young teenager actually needed a new device, and they did things like Facebook and Skype and Twitter and everything internet based.
Uh-huh.
But they were concerned that it was you know, if they got them a laptop, that they were going to break it. So I suggested this route, and it's a possibility.
Yeah. So I see a lot of Chromebooks on Christmas lists this year. I also see iPad Airs.
I've heard really good things. Do you have one
yet?
I don't have one of the new ones.
Two people in my office do, and they love it.
Yeah, I got the old version of the MacBook Pro, so I kind of got it.
What about iPad Air?
The iPad Air.
Oh, iPad Air. Yes, that's what I have right here.
Okay.
Oh, he does have one. Yeah, it's in the building. One.
Sorry. I had
it's in the building.
Last time we had a show, but we didn't. Yeah, no, I think it's amazing.
Retina screen.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful screen. It's a little narrower. We don't need to talk about this now. So I can kind of fit it in my hand, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fast compared to
Samsung's got a phone that's almost that big.
They do.
That Note. Yeah.
It's here. The one I have here is the Mini. This is pretty much about the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does look silly holding it up to your ear.
No, I really like the iPad Air. You know, for people that wonder, I think the real reason Apple went with iPad Air for the name, obviously it is very light and very, very thin, but I think they had to differentiate the model because they're also selling the iPad, the second version of the iPad. They're still selling that new. And I think it was too confusing for sales to say, well, I want the new iPad, even though every iPad I buy will be new. So they had that trouble, so I really think they had to come up with another model name.
Well, they got the airline with the. With
I mean, technically, it's like
They got the air.
Yeah, that was an MacBook obvious air. Choice for them, but I think the real reason they came up with the name Air is so they could differentiate the models. Any iPad you get is going to be great. The new one, obviously, I think the best part about it probably is the super high resolution screen. It's just beautiful.
It is really nice.
And you can almost turn that into a laptop. I've seen some. There's some
Absolutely.
Guys at work that have the
keyboard.
Case that is the keyboard that you lift it out, set it in there, and then you've got the Bluetooth.
That's kind of a productivity nerd. The part I really do like about the iPad is, you know, some people don't like this, but I like how it only allows you to work on one application at a time. You know, you don't have windows or different tab. I mean, you have tabs in your browser, but. You know, other than little notifications, you really get it helps you focus because you're either just in Facebook or you're just in email or you're just in Keynote or Excel, you know, whatever you're working on.
Yeah, you don't get quite as many pop-up messages. This person texted, you have this email, you have a hair appointment.
Yeah, I can move my mouse to one of the corners on my MacBook and have bajillion windows open and applications running.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, so people work in different ways.
Yeah,
and the solution for, you know, a Christmas gift may be depending on what, you know, obviously you can do a lot of things with a lot of different devices, but specifically what you're going to use it for and how that works best to you adaptively.
And yeah, when we're talking about gift giving, I think that's a big thing. I mean, all these things we're talking about, whether you have an Apple allegiance, Android allegiance, I mean, technology is incredible today. I mean, we're talking about wearable technology. We can do it all, but. You know, what does that person who you're buying for like? How are they going to use it? Do they travel? Do they take it with them? Do they put it in their backpack?
Yeah.
Questions.
I just wanted to point out that I had a vote for my comment as well. Jay on Facebook commented. He says that voice control might be nice for some things, but it's too clunky for others. For instance, it's much easier to quickly push the up arrow on a remote than it is to say, change the channel one step higher. Or whatever you'd have to say on that. So
well, you know, I think that's for now. I mean, I think obviously it is easier if you have to do that. But if the device is smart enough to know that you just say up, or you're looking at it, because not only voice recognition is going to be built into things, it's going to be facial recognition. It's going to be much more aware of you as a user. So you're right. Right now it is. But you won't be saying that.
Can I train it so if I eye roll, it just changes the channel?
Well, that's going to be
blink.
I guess I'm getting pretty good at eye rolling.
You know, the computer that's going to be built into your devices is going to be like that. It's going to sense that you're like,
annoyed.
Oh, not that. Well, we have these seven things. Did you mean this?
You know, speaking of sensing, have you I saw an application the other day, and this maybe we're digressing here, but an application
I like that segue, though.
For your smartphone that can take your heartbeat or your heart rate by putting your finger over the camera, or also by taking a picture or looking at your face, because it can see the small changes in your face.
What?
And that's some amazing sensitivity. I was just reading about it yesterday. I haven't had a chance to try it. But for those people who are into heart rate monitors, you put your finger on the camera, or you have it hold it and look at your face, and it can sense, apparently, the blood pulsing through. And that's how accurate it's getting.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could summon a doctor for you, and
it's scary.
You
isn't
could
it?
Go, what are you here for?
Right.
Well, you're about to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Speaking of segueing and pulse rates, you're wearing a piece of technology,
sure.
that is on many Christmas gifts, Christmas lists and things, and that happens to be the Nike Fuel Band.
Fuel
right?
Band SE, which is the new one, came out. November 1st, I believe.
And we'll talk about that in just a second. But there are others. There
Correct.
Are the Fitbit Force, which is also on a lot of lists I see in tech lists and
Fitbit
things.
Fitbit Flex, Fitbit Force,
yeah.
Jawbone Up.
So these all, and let's just try to generalize this. These
yep.
are things that track your movements throughout any given day, your sleep, your activities. In some cases, your calories.
Yep, calories, steps. Fitbit, I know, does altitude, so they know if you're going up steps, running up hills.
Some of the newer ones are going to do pulse,
mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Yeah.
You know, Nike, one I use.
To what end? What do you use this for?
Sure. I put it on every day. I have a, you know, Nike, some people like this, some people don't like it. It kind of depends, again, knowing yourself. They have a made-up, it really is made up, but they have this thing they call Fuel, Nike Fuel. That's why it's called the Fuel Band. And you earn fuel. They tried to create a metric that could go across whether I play soccer or I run or I lift weights or do yoga. You know, they wanted people who are just active to be rewarded in these points. And so then the social aspect of wearing the Fuel Band, when I plug it in, there's an app on the phone and also on the website where you can connect with your friends and see how much fuel they're earning, or you can accept challenges where I'm going to try to earn 4,000 fuel points today, which is, you know, probably a 5-mile, 6-mile run plus an average day of walking around.
Does that equate somehow to calories, or is it, are we talking metric? And
I mean, that's, some people don't like the Fuel Band because of that. It's just this arbitrary number. I like the kind of challenge, the game of it.
You got to be able to figure out, though, how many fuel points is a calorie.
Well, I also have calories. So like today, I haven't done much today other than, you know, walk around at the office, drove, it's too cold. I have 304 fuel points, and that only made 86 calories, so according to this. You know, there is some people make fun of the fuel. Like, I heard you can earn, like, 27 fuel points when you smoke a cigarette, you know, just because of, like, the movement of your hand from your mouth to up and down. So, you know, all this is kind of called the quantified self movement, but it seems to be big. And I know the Fuel or the Fitbit Force is the newest one. I think that's
yep.
a popular one.
Mm-hmm.
Price range anywhere from about $99 to $150, $149. The Fuel Band's $149, and I think the Force is $149. The Fitbit Flex is $99. Mostly all of them are wrist now. Fitbit used to have one that was like a little egg-shaped thing that you
put a pedometer.
You put on your belt buckle or, you know, on your shirt or something like mm-hmm. that. So
it does that, and that's its sole purpose. It doesn't play MP3s, it doesn't do anything.
No.
It doesn't,
mine has a watch.
Alert you to,
I know the newest Twitter Fitbit, thing. The Fitbit Force and the Nike Fuel Band has a watch as well, so I do use it to tell time.
All right.
The Jawbone Up, that's the only one I think that also does sleep.
Yes.
So they use an accelerometer, I believe, in the device so that I can set, if I want to wake up at 7:15, it'll make small, short vibrations.
It vibrates, yeah.
And kind of wake you up naturally.
That's what I miss the most about mine. I mentioned before the show that I broke mine. That's what I miss the most. Now I have to set my alarm on my phone. Before, I could just I'd do nothing. I would just get into bed, and it would vibrate at the proper time.
I landed at the Fuel Band after losing both the Fitbit little buckle one. I had it on my belt someday, and I was on a road trip to Kansas City, and either getting out of the car at a gas station or getting in, I don't know where, I lost it. It just popped right off. And then also I had the original Jawbone up, which I lost on a golf course. Somewhere between making a swing, it came off of my wrist. So I kind of, I went with a Feel Band, which is a much more locked, full bracelet type of experience.
Yeah, it looks fine. And I think the Fitbit Force does sleep too, by the way.
The new one, I think,
yeah,
maybe,
the,
right?
The new one does, so.
Good to know.
Interesting. Interesting thing. Other wearable things. You've obviously got your glass here today.
Not that you can buy that for Christmas. So.
Not
for
not
sale yet
this year.
I thought it was going to be when I got it this summer, but they decided they did it. They have done a second round of so all the explorers, which I believe was about 8,000, got three invites to give to people. So you're going to start to see a few more of people wearing glass in the new year.
Obviously, the ultimate wearable technology is a phone. Because you know you can do so many things with it. A lot of these things we've mentioned that the wearable like the Fitbit does. There are digitals, I guess, for your phone.
Sure.
You know, for tracking movement, they're not as accurate and certainly not as convenient. But there's lots of apps that do the same.
Yeah, you can if you like Feel Band, for instance. If you're a runner, if there's a runner in your family, you for free you can download the Feel Band, just the Nike Feel app, and you hit go when you go for a run, and it uses GPS.
Oh, okay. So you can try it out, try it before you buy it, kind of a
essentially,
thing.
Essentially, yeah.
See if that's really going to fit your style and your workout.
And he mentioned he was using that Fuel Band for a watch, and actually one of the watches that I have been contemplating and waiting actually for the next iteration is the Samsung Galaxy Gear, which is a companion device to either the Note or actually now with the new update to the S4. But actually syncs with your phone and gives you, it's a lot like the Pebble.
Is that the one that they're pushing with the commercial with like Jetsons and
yes.
Power Rangers?
Yep.
They're really pushing that product.
And they are pushing it hard. You know, it gives you alerts on text messages, on emails, on your phone ringing. It will tell you who's ringing, and you can use your watch then to cancel those or to accept. It's actually got a built-in camera as well.
Are you going to do that?
You know, the problem is the reviews I've been reading have been so poor that I'm
really?
I'm waiting.
The ones I've seen have been mixed.
Yeah. I've been told, you know, it's kind of clunky. You can't change the band on it at all, and it's a little bit cumbersome to wear and that it's not flexible. And then there's just some things that you would think it should be able to do that it doesn't. But the Pebble, I'm being told, is spectacular.
I'm not so sure if the smartwatch market really exists. Like,
yeah.
I kind of feel like Apple could be there if they wanted to be.
Well, I think, you know,
and they just chose it not to be because I don't think people
I do
care.
Like the idea, though, of sitting in a meeting and having my watch vibrate to tell me that I got a text message or a phone call rather than having to pull my phone out of my pocket because it's just less intrusive.
And I got to agree.
So you're still going to check them. You're just going to do it. Hopefully
it
your
would,
boss
but it
doesn't
would,
catch you.
It would just be – I wouldn't have to pull the phone out. Because look at this. I mean, we all have our phones sitting out here waiting for something to happen in case we need to check it.
Or ultimately so we don't crush it or something.
Well,
that's
that
actually
too.
I think the way I would use it the most is to be able to –
But you're not going to leave your phone aside. You're still going to have it on you.
Of course.
Definitely.
That's the thing that only – the only thing – the saving grace for me is – the only correlation I can give it is when I'm in my truck or in my car and my phone's in my pocket and the phone rings, my car, I push a button on the steering wheel and I answer the phone. Mm-hmm. I don't have to dig it off my hip. I don't have to dig it out of my pocket. That's what that convenience is what appeals to me of this watch, is I can do that. I don't have to be driving. I don't drive that much, but when I'm driving and the phone rings, it's a great experience for me. Or I can call. I can hit the button and say, call, you know, so-and-so, and it says seller office, and I'll go sell, and boom, I'm done.
Yeah.
So if this correlates in any way with that experience, with the sync experience with the car, mm-hmm. that would be a really – I could see that. You're not digging it off your hip, out of your pocket, doing whatever with it. You've got a remote control. I guess a remote control for your phone.
Sure.
Yeah, for basic notifications, I think it's a great idea.
It is time to take another quick break. When we come back I think we're going to talk more about wearable tech and other things. So the way to contact us, facebook.com/techradio is the place that you can write to us, as well as midday@sdpb.org. And we're back to the third half of the show today.
Kill our music
my
so quick
half.
Today. I like when it kind of trails off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have control of that.
Oh,
I can only control you guys sometimes in a very limited way. Jeff Litterick, I want to talk to you a little bit because it is it seems to me that Christmas is the time to gift games. And I haven't done much tracking on this, but I see a lot of game accessories out there in the stores. What are they using those for? What are the hot games this Christmas, Jeff?
You know, it's kind of interesting. There's not that many hot games. It's more about the consoles and kind of the headline games that from years past, like Call of Duty Ghosts and stuff like that, Battlefield 4, even though it has its problems and stuff. And those games now playing that were already released earlier this fall for the older consoles on the new consoles. So it's finally the hype on the new consoles is starting to really get up there. Other than that, it's kind of interesting. PC gaming-wise, not a lot of big releases outside of the same things you see on the console, the Call of Duties and stuff like that. It's been kind of actually a quiet gaming season. I think a lot of it was Grand Theft Auto 5, Call of Duty before. It was more September, August kind of releases this year around. So,
yeah. We do have an email. Doug writes in, guys, he says, voice control can be really helpful for those with poor vision, a stroke caused by hand paralysis, etc. Dragon Dictate works for some. Roku has one version with an earbud for the remote control, which is kind of cool. I guess he says you guys might want to discuss some of the cheapskate tablets, 10-inch tablets with Bluetooth and keyboard doesn't cost an arm and a leg. I saw a lot of Android tablets. I'm assuming they're Android tablets on the Black Friday sales.
Yes, a ton.
Is anybody in the room buy one of those? I tell you, it was really tempting not to buy a $79 tablet when I was out kind of
What do you
around.
Get for $79 for a tablet, though? Has anybody picked one of those up? It seems to me those are probably going to be some pretty...
Yeah, you get a $79 tablet.
Yeah, it's pretty low-end hardware, so...
Is it going to be frustrating?
You are paying for in Mayo's cases.
You got to watch for dual core, don't you, on the processors?
I wouldn't even bother looking at the specs because you'll just be confused by it. If you know enough to look at the specs and read it, you don't need our recommendation on what tablet to buy.
Well, do you think that market's for kids, right? Is that probably who's...
Honestly, if I were buying
on a limited budget.
Honestly, if I were buying a tablet for a kid, I would not buy one that would have limitations like bad tracking and a slow processor. I honestly think if you are looking for low end on a tablet, whether it's iOS or Android, your best bet is to buy a used one. I think you'll get a better product because you'll have top of the line hardware, even though if it's a year or so old, and it's just going to be more reliable rather than buying, you know, the Kobe tablet. I'd be no offense to Kobe if that's a real company. I just think
Kobe Bryant,
you're
tablets?
Asking for trouble.
It is.
It is. C-O-B-E.
No, I know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know it's a real name, but I very much doubt it's an actual company. Just a collection
it
of
is,
bad products.
Me. All right. Speaking of a collection of bad products, how about let's talk about a collection of good products? We're going to do a little over under thing here. $50 for holiday giving. Give me one thing that would be that you are giving or you would like to give somebody. One under 50, one over 50. Who wants to start?
Sure, I'll go. I'm big on less is more, and I don't want more stuff in my little apartment. So I'm into kind of the subscription type of gifts where you can give a year-long subscription to something. So one I like is Audible.com. Great app site where you can listen to audiobooks. Audiobooks are expensive. So Audible.com is a subscription where you get one book a month. If you want more, you can pay for it, but... that's what I'm going to be giving, a subscription to Audible.com.
That's a great idea.
Plans at like $24, $39, $60 might be the highest plan.
Year or month?
So like the basic ones like 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months.
Okay, all right.
Something like that. Breaks down to maybe $12 a month.
$12 a month, okay. So what's your high-end gift then?
Oh, we're going over 50 now?
Yeah, we're going
over 50. I mean, gosh, the iPad Air is a pretty awesome gift, but for something off the radar, I know we talked to Nest last year, the smart thermostat. I gave that to my dad last year. He loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Went on to buy another one for their cottage. So I'll throw out their second product, which is the Nest Protect, which is the smoke alarm. No one ever thought a smoke alarm could be a gift or a smoke alarm could be sexy, but Nest made that possible. I think I should check here.
129.
Okay. And then the Nest thermostat's 250.
You know, how many we're going to get to you, but I'm going to jump off for just a second. How many things in the house are going to be wired in the future? I see
everything.
The connected wired light bulb. List. Philips has a light bulb out. It's $99. You screw it in. It's connected via your phone or your computer
Hue.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
Hue.
I have those. I have those.
You have those.
They're
you
awesome.
Can you can change the color. You can change the intensity.
I'm a nerd. Last year,
59.
You upload an image and it'll pull the color. So last year we had a Super Bowl party, Paige and I, in our apartment, and I had one setting the light bulbs for the 49ers and one for the Ravens. And whoever was whatever point in the game, whoever was winning, we just switched the color of the lights.
Oh, man, you are a nerd.
That's awesome. What a great
mackerel.
Idea.
That is a good idea.
All right.
Well, we're on a panel of nerds here, and nerds are listening.
But how many light bulbs does it take to be useful? I mean, you really wouldn't get one.
No,
right?
I bought the pack for the hub, which is like where it speaks to, and then three bulbs was 200. So pricey. I only have those three. You know, to do your whole house would be expensive. That being said, the guy at the store told me these will last, he thought, 35 years.
15,000 hours.
Are they LED?
They are.
Yeah.
Okay. So they are going to last.
15,000 hours.
It's crazy. So under 50, Joel.
Under 50. I would probably go with the Roku, the $49 Roku. I think just about everybody, if they have internet in the house, they can use the Roku for something. That would be my recommendation at that. Under 50, which is a dollar. Under 50, as long as you don't have to pay tax.
All right. For $2 more, you can get what?
For $2 more?
Well, over 50.
Oh, you know, I would actually recommend this thing. We haven't talked about it yet, but Anki Drive, which is a real-life slot car video game. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to Google it or go to Anki.com, spelled A-N-K-I. You can buy it at Apple stores. You can only buy it at Apple online right now.
Look like souped up Hot Wheels.
Yeah, basically it is an old style slot car racing thing. Comes with two cars and a track. The track is just a vinyl mat. They race on that mat. There are no slots. They're just robots. They're robot cars, and you can control them, upgrade weapons. It is, you got to watch the video. It will blow your mind.
Is it remote control or your phone?
You use an app for your iOS device, and they run by themselves, much like a video game would. They kind of run straight, but you can control quick turns and launch weapons and get points and upgrade weapons. $200 is what it is. Gets you two cars. You can buy more cars. The cars have personality.
That's cool.
It is amazing. An 8-foot vinyl track it comes with. It's
little,
pretty awesome.
Little Johnny's first drone.
That's exactly what it is.
I think he's buying it for himself.
There was a great story on NPR this morning about drones being used. There's a drone zone, apparently, in Ohio where they're testing these devices. They'll go out and check power lines, and they'll go out and do these things. They'll do photography. They'll, you know, all kinds of different things. But we saw the Amazon deliver your coffee by a drone within 30 minutes thing. Is that totally troll or what is it?
We got to keep going gifts if we're going to get on that topic today.
Yeah. Let's finish.
It is real. Up. It's on 60 Minutes. Jeff Bezos said 5 years or less. Obviously not in Sioux Falls, but in major markets, I wouldn't think Sioux Falls.
Yeah, why not?
If you're in close to it.
So it's going to be like the Jetsons. And
30 minutes.
Flying by
30-minute delivery.
I hear there's a town in Colorado that's thinking about passing an ordinance that bans drones. And in fact, institutes a $100 bounty if you shoot one from the sky.
Oh, that'll never happen. You'll never be able to legislate people firing guns into the air. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Amos, it's your time. Under $50.
Under $50, and I know there's some argument on this as to you know whether or not it's something that's going to take off or not. But I still think the Google Chromecast is a great product. And
great idea.
Just recently, they released 10 more apps that work with it. And so getting streaming media easily to any HDMI-capable device.
I love it.
For $39, it's – or 30 is it 35 maybe?
Yeah, 35.
Yeah, it's a great deal. And then my over 50.
Over 50.
And this is a personal opinion, but I've really gotten – I've bought into the Sonos line of music products, and I really like mine. They're not cheap, but I use mine every day. And that's basically a device that's capable of streaming audio over the internet that you control from any of your wireless devices. So my laptop, my desktop, my my phones, my tablets, and it works with all the streaming services, the Spotify's, the Pandora's, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
And it basically it's a speaker that all you need to do is be able to plug it into electrical and you get streaming. So,
and that sounds good?
It sound actually I've my 5, which is kind of the bigger model, uh-huh. Actually I guess it's the biggest model, sounds unbelievable. It sounds really good. So, and they've got the 1, the 3, the 5, they've got a play bar that goes under your TV, and then they've got a subwoofer.
Sonos.
Sonos.
All right.
I really like it.
Great. Jeff Litterick in Pier. Do you have a gift under $50 to share with us, Jeff?
Well, you know, even in the gaming world, it's kind of hard to get under 50, at least for the new greatness. So I'm actually going to, for the under 50, recommend Kevin an old game, because you can buy the whole thing plus all the DLCs for about $30 anymore, or $40 if you get all the DLCs. And you know what? Over the past year, every time I get bored with anything else, I go back and keep playing it. And that's Borderlands 2. You can get it for console or on Steam on the PC. It's a RPG shooter. It's just the writers had a great time writing it. It's full of comedy. It's just a hilarious game to play. So,
all right, over 50?
Over 50. I'm going to recommend something I've been using last year that they finally upgraded and actually have a better version out, and that's called the DropCam Pro. I use and have used for the past year the DropCam, the non-pro version, and as soon as I can afford it, I'm going to upgrade to the pro version. But what it is a basically video audio monitoring that is streamed to the internet through Wi-Fi when it's on. And the nice part about this is you don't have to open any holes in routers. There's no anything on your PC to do. It's basically you connect it to the wireless, and it's when you plug it in, it's on. When you unplug it, it's off. Or you can control it from your phone, your iPad. You can see from your phone and iPad, Android, iOS, whatever, PC, at any time what's going on. You can actually speak through it. A lot of people have public webcams. A lot of zoos and enclosures and stuff have public drop cams, and with the same apps, you can watch all those public ones. It's just really cheap, considering, and almost no hassle to set up and just work. So,
fantastic.
For that kind of purpose, it's probably the best out there right now.
Alrighty, and for me, I am the favorite uncle in the world when I give iTunes gift cards, so you can do that in any denomination you'd like. They're nice and easy.
Amazon gift cards as well, I recommend.
So that's my over and under there.
Nice.
We have a question. We have a question from Facebook.
You cheat.
I do.
Yeah, Facebook question. It says, I use the library for all my books for my iPad. What is the best device for audio in the car?
I don't know if it's the best. I think the best would be if it can sync with your car, if it can talk to your car. But otherwise, more of a kind of a DIY solution. You know, I've used that Audible to have my books, and then use the mini Jambox. The Jambox is a great little audio device you can just put in your pocket and bring it with you.
Can't you use your iPad?
It sounds okay if more than one person is listening. Like if the whole car is trying to listen, it's a little hard. But,
oh, I mean, plug the cord into the iPad and then plug
into
that
your car.
Into the car stereo.
Yeah, if you have my
car,
I did that on the way up here.
Newer than 2011, maybe. If your car's
yeah, we or, probably.
And
need
if it's older than that, plug the cassette in with the cord on it. And plug
We probably need just a bit more information to really give you a great answer on that. If you want to repost some more questions,
but even Sonos, don't they have a little portable something you can bring? I don't know.
No,
I mean, if you do have that aux port, I just use my iPod Nano, actually. It lasts forever, easily control through the remote connection through the aux port. So
I use my phone that I Bluetooth to my car, and if I want to use Audible or if I want to use Google Play or I want to use Pandora, whatever I can get through my phone, I can get through my car.
There you go. You might already have it with your iPad or your phone. Yeah. So
I think he's just looking for a bigger sound, you know, it seemed like. But
oh, well.
Yeah.
It also could have been, are there certain applications that you use for audio on the car? The question is pretty broad, so put more questions on
there.
But
we can answer
those
Facebook ones after the fact, even
you bet.
After the show. So.
Well, we are running curiously low on time.
Curious.
So I want to thank our panelists today, Matt Guru, Joel Brovelite. Thank you for taking your time, Joel.
Thank you.
Nine Clouds, Joe Frounder.
Whatever.
John T. Meyer is with us today from SDN. Amos Asip, thank you so much. And Jeff Litterick standing by in Pierre as always. Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. You guys have a great Christmas, and we will be back December 27th to talk about what we unwrap for the new year. Thanks again. Reminder to listeners, if you joined us late, the show will be available on the website. Hit the website at sdpb.org.